Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Speaking of interest and interesting, our man Brandon Adams from Dog Nation Daily joins us. BA, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great, and I had a chance to see the National League wild card game last night. It's about a good baseball game. I'm no Nationals fan, but the comeback, Soto, the big you hit and kind of the misplayed ball in the outfield. So if the American League game tonight is as good as the National League game was last night, then that means the 2019 baseball postseason has gotten off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, that was a fun game. It really was. And I'll say this, too. Back in the 90s, you know, when the Braves were in it every year and they were actually winning series, and those games were just such a grind. And you look back on it now, and it's like, yeah, you don't mind it because it's been so long since the Braves have won anything in the postseason. So maybe they'll be able to do something here against the Cardinals. At least they start at 5 o'clock tomorrow and 4:30 on Friday, so you're not up into the to the late hours hanging with them. But if you're a Brewers fan, that's just that's brutal last night, that you're leading the whole game like that, and then it gets away in the bottom of the eighth. But that's postseason baseball. It really is.
Yeah, there's no question about that. It's a sustained tension that's really, really fun.
Hey, Brandon, sorry to put you on the spot at the risk of you saying no, but have you been watching at all any of this Saturdays in the South over on the SEC Network, the 8-part documentary?
I've certainly heard good things about it, but I have not seen it yet. I guess I'm hoping that one of these days, once the season's over, they'll kind of run the whole thing as a marathon or something like that, because I'm familiar with the series and I've heard good things about it, but I haven't been able to see any of them myself.
I'll recommend it 1,000% when they do that marathon. Watch that. I was going to bring up last night was part 5, and they focused on the 80s. And that Junkyard Dogs we just came back into, they spent the first 20 minutes or so taking a pretty deep dive into the 1980 national championship team at Georgia. So by all means, BA, check it out when you get a chance.
Oh, that's a great thing to hear. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm a little too young to have remembered the 80 team. I was alive then, but I was only 3. So, you know, a lot of my college football fandom story is kind of based on the legends and the stories I was told kind of about that team and kind of about those moments. So anytime I have a chance to kind of go back in time and experience some of that, I'm always fascinated by it, because that's sort of the campfire story that I grew up hearing.
Well, I was -3 at the time, so I'm certainly a campfire story. But, hey, I'll tell you what, we both remember the last time that Georgia beat Notre Dame, and since we had a couple issues last time, technical last week, we weren't able to talk to you. But before we look ahead to Knoxville, just give us real quick, what were your takeaways walking out of Sanford Stadium, a victor over the Notre Dame Fighting Irish a couple weeks ago?
Well, as I said before, I have been going to games there in Sanford Stadium since the mid-'80s, you know, all my life. And there have been some really impressive atmospheres, and obviously it's always fun to be between the hedges. But I don't remember a game that ever felt quite like what it felt like two Saturdays ago. It was something that made me really, really proud, first of all, to be a part of, and just thrilled to see the enthusiasm that was there in the stadium that day. Obviously, the lights and all that kind of stuff, they helped with that a little bit, but it was really the crowd noise that was the most significant part of that. And I thought the Georgia fans really deserved to give themselves a pat on the back for creating the atmosphere they created. And, you know, anytime you beat a top 10 team like that, as someone said on our show yesterday, one of our commenters, that, you know, Georgia's the only team in the country to have a win over the current top 10 right now. So, you know, that's a huge win for Georgia, and it's a win worth celebrating. In addition to that, there's also going to be some evaluation of Georgia that goes on, comparing Georgia to the top teams in the country, and no one's a perfect team right now. There are a few teams that have perfect records, but no one's playing perfectly, you know, kind of Georgia included in that group. And I think you see some things offensively that you wish were a little bit different, especially in the first half. But the great news is, Georgia's got 3 games coming up the month of October to work on some of that kind of stuff before they get into a stretch of November that's going to be a wild ride virtually every single week, and a sprint towards the finish. So I thought the Notre Dame game was a thrilling moment in Sanford Stadium history. I thought it was an impressive win to go out and beat Notre Dame, maybe validated even more by Notre Dame's win the following week against Virginia, and also a game that probably showed you a little bit of evidence of a couple of things that Georgia's still going to be working on.
And not that every team doesn't have a wart or two. I mean, we're a third of the way, fourth of the way through the season. But if you were putting your playoff together, your top four teams, because I find this interesting. All of a sudden, since Clemson struggled with North Carolina, a lot of people say, wow, they're not that good anymore. But what are your thoughts on if they're a top four team and where you would have them in the top four?
I would say if you're doing top four based on what we've seen only to this season, only up to this point, the top four teams in the country are all from the SEC. It's Georgia, it's LSU, it's Auburn. I'd put Alabama. And people may say, and I wrote about this, and we're going to have this up at DogNation.com later on this week. People will say, well, Alabama hasn't played anybody. They haven't proven anything against anybody. I can argue that Bama's win week one over now 3-1 Duke, a team that's ranked in, like, you know, top 38, I think, of the ESPN FPI, something along those lines. I can make a case that Alabama beating Duke on a neutral site is more impressive than anything that Clemson's done at this point in time, because let's face it, Texas A&M's turned out not to be very good. More impressive than Ohio State, certainly, and probably more impressive than Oklahoma there as well. Now, I'm certainly not going to tell you the four SEC teams make the college football playoff, but if you're asking me, based on 5 weeks' worth of games, four of those belonging to Georgia, I believe the top four teams in the country right now are off in the SEC.
Well, maybe instead of having a playoff nationally, the SEC just ought to have its own playoff.
There you go.
Yeah, and then just go that way.
I like that. I have some SEC semifinal games. I wouldn't mind seeing that as a precursor to the SEC championship. That's not a bad idea at all.
Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, joins us.
All right, Brandon, we're heading up to a place that a lot of dogs of a certain age can remember when it used to be a house of horrors. Dave and I had what I thought was an interesting conversation earlier this week, where in a weird sense, as a Georgia fan, as a fan of just college football, I do kind of miss the days where this Georgia-Tennessee matchup was a top-ranked billing, a must-watch for a lot of people. But that being said, there's a lot of folks that will say, cherish these times while you have them. What are your views on just the fall from grace that Tennessee has gone through and what it means for this weekend for the matchup itself?
Well, it's really pretty amazing, and I've talked about this on my show a little bit this week, too, that it's almost hard to convince people who are significantly younger than me. Let's say it's someone in their early 30s or 20s, you know, someone who's a decade younger than me. It's hard to convince them of how big of a deal the Georgia-Tennessee game used to be from the standpoint that it seemed like a bridge too far for Georgia to win this thing. It's crazy to think that now, but at the time that seemed true. I believe Georgia lost 9 straight at one point to the Vols. And so, you know, what I hope is that Georgia fans can still find a way to make this look like a rivalry, make this feel like a rivalry, and understand that, you know, Georgia can beat up on Tennessee for a number of years to come, and it's still only kind of worked its way back to even compared to where things were, you know, kind of post-Mark Richt and, you know, during the Peyton Manning era and the 98 team for the Vols that won the national championship. The first time game day came to Athens, for instance, was ruined by a pretty lousy performance against Tennessee. You know, Georgia's got a lot of payback to give back to Tennessee. So if Georgia goes up there on Saturday, the Vegas folks will tell you that Georgia's supposed to win the game easily. Well, if that happens, I don't think it's the kind of thing that Georgia fans ought to gloss over, fast forward through. You know, Kentucky, South Carolina, if you want to downplay that, you know, those series probably, for at least on the Georgia side, have a little bit less history. But for Tennessee, Neyland Stadium at one point in time was a house of horrors for Georgia. And really, even contemporary modern Georgia fans can think back to you know, just some pretty disappointing losses there at Neyland Stadium. So if Georgia is indeed going to go up to a Knoxville on Saturday and make it look easy, that's not the kind of thing that anybody ought to take for granted. That's a pretty special time in Georgia's history, and the fact that it comes simultaneous to a lousy time in the Vols' history, listen, that's their problem.
What are your thoughts on Jeremy Pruitt as a head coach?
You know, the one thing that you know Pruitt can do is, you know, he can recruit. The one thing I was always going to be curious about is if his demeanor, and we all know some of the rumors, and in some cases maybe even more than rumors, about his time here in Athens that would suggest that maybe him controlling his demeanor, him controlling his, you know, emotions, you know, maybe not always the easiest thing for him to do. I always wondered if he would look like a head coach, you know, a statesman, you know, in full control of this program after a couple of years. And I think the jury is kind of still out on that. I think that Pruitt is not great messaging his team. You know, he didn't speak to the media when he worked at Alabama. Did talk to reporters some when he was at Georgia, but this is not a guy that has a lot of experience speaking to the media. He's not a smooth talker as it is. And so in a time in which Tennessee football is kind of falling on hard times, and Pruitt takes some of the blame for that right now, I don't think he's particularly good at getting his message out there about his plan for making things better. I don't think he has a lot of allies within the Knoxville media contingent, because I think that he's just kind of terse and blunt or whatever else. I don't think that a lot of the people who cover him on a regular basis necessarily have the warmest feelings for him. And I think that his time in Knoxville is probably going to come to an end sooner rather than later. I think that Tennessee was put in a really tough spot. I don't have any sympathy for Tennessee, because as a Georgia fan, they're obviously a rival. But I think we can all objectively say, just given the way that everything played out of that in that program, they were put in a tough spot where they had to go out and find a coach. And at the time, Pruitt seemed as good as any. But some of the fears that people might have had about, is this a guy that's really ready to lead a program? Well, I think at this point in time, some of those fears have been proven warranted.
Talking with Brandon Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily.
Brandon, I've enjoyed your shows this week. You kind of talking about Alabama and their fans, and I guess some of their former players even, kind of in a weird way obsessing over what Georgia's doing in terms of whether it be lights in the stadium, care packages. I certainly appreciate you and your conversation with Matt Stinchcombe.
It was John.
Okay, and debunking that myth, by the way, that's not a new thing to send care packages. But what's up with Alabama right now when it comes to seemingly all eyes on Athens? When, call it what it is, they've beat us the last few times we played them.
Well, that's the thing too. Is like, because I've heard from some Alabama fans on some of these topics where they say, y'all are more obsessed with Alabama than Alabama is with Georgia. And while I, did not respond back, the response back I wanted to send was, yeah, but here's the thing you understand is like, Georgia has put a bullseye on Alabama's back. Of course, Georgia fans are going to be thinking about Alabama and in some cases obsessing over Alabama, because Alabama is where Georgia wants to be. The Crimson Tide is the reigning SEC champion, and 2 years ago they won the national championship. And in this era in which Kirby Smart's building up the Georgia program, the Alabama mountain is the one that Kirby still hasn't climbed as of yet. So there's going to be kind of a natural tendency for Georgia to, and Georgia fans to kind of look at Alabama, talk about Alabama, think about Alabama. But the fact that Alabama's reciprocating that so much, whether it be Reggie Ragland worrying about Georgia players in the NFL getting the same kinds of care packages with apparel and gear and things like that that Alabama players have gotten in the past, or the Alabama fans who worry about the LED lights that Georgia got to show that Alabama hasn't had a chance to show off yet. The fact that the Alabama fans are thinking as much about Georgia as they are, I think that leads you to believe that Alabama fans might be a little concerned about how quickly Kirby Smart's building things up for Georgia, and that ought to be a pretty good sign for Georgia fans that the dog is going in the right direction.
Dave has brought this up many times, and my answer, and I think his as well, is if an Alabama fan says, oh, you just want to be like Alabama, our answer is, well, yes, I do want to be like Alabama.
Okay, yeah.
There's a lot of things that Alabama has that I wish we had, so I have no shame in admitting that. Brandon, your chief Gator hater, as we know, I think a lot is going to be told about these Gators when they host Auburn this weekend. They go on the road the following weekend against LSU. What is your just gauge on Florida? Hats off to Kyle Trask so far, who has not fallen on his face, but that competition's about to get a whole lot tougher these next couple of weeks. What are you gauging the Gators right now?
Yeah, so this is the time in the schedule where I kind of always felt like Florida's going to run into trouble. They have two really tough SEC West opponents. It's Auburn this week. It's LSU on the road coming up. Obviously, Georgia is a team that I don't think is a great matchup for Florida. So analytically, I think that Florida is in some real trouble, including this Saturday. Now, the emotional side of me, someone who, in addition to, just kind of giving the best I can objective analysis, wanting to see Florida lose, I'm a little concerned about the fact that Auburn comes into this game riding on such a high note. David mentioned before the idea of points spreads and gambling and things along those lines. Typically speaking, I'm kind of a contrarian gambler. I'm the kind of the person that says, you probably want to align yourself away from wherever the public momentum seems to be. And, Auburn just blew out Mississippi State and now has to go on the road. Sometimes that's a recipe for disaster, especially when they've been told how good they are dating back to their win at Texas A&M and, you know, beginning of the season when they beat Oregon, a legitimately good team in a neutral site venue. There's a lot of love for Auburn right now. When you go into a hostile stadium, sometimes that's not a great recipe. Still think they're good enough to earn the win against Florida on Saturday. That's my kind of official pick here, and I think this is where we start to see some of those true blemishes emerge for the Gators. But as someone who also wants Florida to lose, there's almost a part of me that wishes Auburn wasn't coming in riding as much steam as they're riding.
Well, B.A., thank you very much. Before we, before I let you go, I'll tell both of you guys one thing. Don't be telling the Stinchcombs you like listening to them, because it'll go to their heads. So we don't want to get those guys too jacked up.
That's exactly right.
No,
John
and Matt are so awesome. Those guys are great. So
even if they did go to Parkview, you got to give them credit.
Well, I'll let you Gwinnett people hash that out. But
well, it is really cool. It's really cool to see, you know, the distinguished former, you know, Letterman for Georgia alumni and some of the things they're doing in the community. You know, obviously we're all really proud of, you know, what Georgia does in the football field. But when you see what some of these guys do after their career's done, I mean, I think that also on a field Georgia fans with a sense of pride.
Yeah, and it's, you know, guys like that that, you know, we see Matt calling football games, and like you said, John does such a great job with you guys, and known them for a long time, and they are terrific ambassadors of Georgia. But don't tell anyone I said that, because, again, I don't want that to go to their heads. Anyway, Brandon, well, you're the best. Well, we appreciate it. We'll look forward to hearing you later
always
today here on the road.
Yeah, always good to talk to you guys. Thanks so much.
All right, Brandon Thanks, Adams, the host of Dog Nation Daily, noon to 1, right here on 960 The Rev.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.